Good to have each and every one of you. Those visiting with us today, God bless you. Those of you that's on the lake and coming up and being with us, God bless you. From Red River Assembly of God, right? Duns? Yep. It's good to have you guys back. We're always enjoyable to have you. Amen. Today I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to come out of a lot of different verses, but we'll start in James chapter 1. And I'm talking to you today about prosperity is God's original design. So remember, I told you a few weeks ago that we're going to take about a month and we're going to speak on family issues. And so this is one of the things that the Lord has put on my heart. Now, when you talk about prosperity, there's usually two things that happen in the minds of believers. One clicks me off and says, I don't believe in that. And two says, oh, I know all about that. Bless God, it's about time he preaches some truth around here. Well, probably going to disappoint both of you today. So I believe with all my heart we keep the bubble in the middle, right? So we try to find the balance. But I do believe in prosperity. I do not believe in prosperity the way it's preached today in most churches or TV stations. Still with me? Okay. And you got to love me at the end of the service is all I can say. So, but just listen to what I believe is the truth of the Word of God. So in James chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above, come down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that he might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you today. We're so thankful that already we feel the Spirit of God moving in this congregation. God, we surrender our hearts to you today. We place them upon the altar. I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, would convict us of anything that's wrong in our life and would show us truth so that we can walk it out, Father. So God, if we're on one side or the other of this issue, Lord, point us to truth. Show us the truth of the Word of God and help us to see what you're wanting us to see today. I pray, God, if we have some mindsets that's not of you, that they will come down today and be replaced by the Word of God. So Lord, we're willing to surrender our ideas and our thoughts so that your thoughts can replace ours. God, we want your will and your way and your thoughts more than anything else in life. So Lord, we ask you today, we lay our hearts on the altar, and we ask the Holy Spirit to move on every person in this congregation today. May they receive something that's of you, Father. Speak, Lord, through me. So, Lord, my prayer is let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I really believe that we need to understand this concept. We need to get this into our hearts. The very first thing I would want to tell you is God is not mad at you. God is not waiting for you to mess up where he can correct you. God will correct you, and he will chastise you. And he says, just like a father chastises his son and corrects his son, so I will correct you. But I want you to know, when I was just a little kid, my pastor went over and over and over in this for a while in our church, and he just drove it so deep in my heart. All good things come from God. If you can just get that in your heart, all good things come from God. The breath that you're breathing today is coming from him. He has allowed you another day to worship and to bless him. He has got his hand on you, even if you don't recognize it. Even when you're cursing him, God is blessing you. Isn't that an amazing thing? But here's what he really wants you to know. He said that you would be a kind of first fruits. You see, God, it pleases God to do good towards you. But God wants to take you and to make you the poster child of the kingdom of God. He wants to do so many great things in your life that He shows you to the world and says, this is what I want to do for you. It's exactly what He did to Israel. He took a little nation that was nothing, and He says, I want to show the world what kind of God I am by blessing a nothing nation. Right? Took them before they were anything, and He says, I want to put my hand upon you. I want to bless you so that all the world will know it's not by your strength, it's because of the God you serve. Now, if you can get that for you, you will be highly blessed. In other words, what success you may have in life, if you'll quit thinking you're such big stuff, so intelligent, that I just done everything right in my life, bless God, look how important I am. If you'll humble yourself for just a moment and say, God, I don't believe in luck. Somebody should have said amen to that. I believe the hand of God leads my steps. I believe the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And I just want to say thank you for the blessings of God that's on my life. That's what the Lord wants to do to you. In Psalms 127, we read this most of the time at child dedications, but it says, unless the Lord builds the house. Pastors will preach this thing a lot, and we'll read Psalms 127, and we'll think the house of God. The truth of the matter is He's talking about your house. He says, unless the Lord builds the house, my home, my family, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. You know what He's talking about there? He says, stop worrying. Stop living your life in anxiety to prosper yourself. I want to prosper you. I want to build your family. Would you give it a rest? That's Kelleher version. For so He gives His beloved sleep. Another promise from God. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. You need to know that's the Word of God. There'll be times when you'll have to come back and stand on that truth. Okay, God, I know these are from You. Even though they have 666 on their head, God, I know that's a gift for me. No. It says, the fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Children are a blessing from God. Your family is a blessing of God. God wants to put His anointing upon your family so that they will prosper and do well. A lot of people that say they do not believe in prosperity are working themselves to death. You know why? Because they're trying to prosper themselves. I've got a better way. Let Him do it. Now, let me just tell you this. I'm not saying quit work. I'm saying you work. You work with all your heart. You be the most excellent employee that your boss has. Because I believe in excellence and I believe in working. But don't try to prosper yourself. Let God prosper you. One of the words for prosperity in the Hebrew, now you may not know this, but it's shalom. The word shalom oftentimes is transferred as peace, but sometimes it's transferred as prosperity. So we know, what does shalom mean? It means wholeness, our completeness, our soundness. Another word for prosperity is also favor or grace. So the favor of God is releasing things in your life to bring blessing into your life. So when you think of prosperity, as I preach this message of prosperity, if all you're seeing is dollar signs in your mind, you're missing it. Because if you got $10 million in the bank and you're dying of a sickness, or you've got this wrong or that wrong, that's not prosperity. Prosperity is having the blessing of God in every area of your life, right? So that's what I want you to get. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it's the Lord, for it's He who gives you the power, the capacity or ability to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers as to this day." So the very first thing He says is, you need to live your life in obedience. Many times we're asking God to bless us, but we're not living a life of obedience. I told a family the other day, I said, they're living together, coming to church. And I just laid it out best I could. I said, you know what? I said, you want your life to be blessed, but when I pray for you, for God to bless your life, God says, I can't bless your life. He can't bless disobedience. He can't bless a lifestyle of sin. When will Christians get that in their head? God is not going to bless your lifestyle of sin until you submit it to Him. There is something you've got to do to receive the blessing of God, and that's obedience. That's good preaching, Pastor. We need to remember how good the Lord is. Now, the world is going to tell you, every time something bad happens to you, the world is going to tell you, look what God has done. And you need to understand and tell them, that's not the God I serve. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. My God comes to give life and give an abundant life. I believe good things come from God and bad things come from the devil. The Lord chastens His sons. We are to bless the Lord for provision. In other words, if you cannot be thankful for what you have in your hands today, I have very little doubt that more is going to be there tomorrow. You have got to find a place of thanksgiving for what you have in this very moment of time. If you're grumbling and complaining all your life about what you don't have, you're not going to receive the blessing of God. Be thankful for the moment that you live in. Right? Whether you have plenty or whether you're struggling right now, make this day a day of thanksgiving. Say, in all things give thanks to this is the will of God. And the last thing I see in this is, don't take credit for the blessing yourself. Make sure that you thank Him for what He's doing in your life. 3 John verse 2 is the verse that everybody gets to when they want to talk to prosperity. And it says, "Beloved, I pray that you prosper." That Greek word is endu, and it means succeed in reaching in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. There's a whole lot in this verse. Prosperity is a result of God's abundance. God wants to bless you, and He wants to put His hand upon your life. But there are certain things that you need to do, certain things that you need to follow. Prosperity is not financial only. In 1 Timothy 6:10, it says, "The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some have strayed from the faith, and they have grave bitterness." So, if you have a problem, now let's just take this. Money is amoral. Money is not positive, it's not negative, it's amoral. It takes on the behavior of the person that's holding it. So if you're moral, your money is moral. If you're immoral, your money is immoral, right? The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, not money itself. So we need to make sure we get those things right. But God wants you to have plenty, but you need to realize that money is a tool. It's not the end in itself. I hope that you don't think, well, when I get this amount of money, I'll be successful. That's ridiculous. God wants to bless you, but it's more than just money. It's more than dollars and cents. Prosperity is God's business. Proverbs 10, verse 22 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and He adds no sorrow to it." Many people are chasing money, And when you chase money, you're going to find there's lots of sorrows associated with money. But when you chase Jesus, money will chase you. He will supply what you need. Right? We have all kinds of promises in the Word of God. But you need to quit chasing money. Matter of fact, if you read that verse, I would that you prosper even as your soul prospers. God has no problem with you having prosperity of finances, but it's not His top priority. If it's not His top priority, it ought not be your top priority. If some of you sought God the way you seek money, we would have a different kind of church. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying we're getting a little whacked sometimes. We're getting out of balance. I would that you prosper. Do you hear the Holy Spirit saying this? I would that you prosper. I want to see you prosper, even as your soul prospers. Your financial prosperity will follow your soul prosperity. If you begin to seek God, He says He takes care of everything else. You seek money, you got problems. But if you'll seek Him, He takes care of everything that you're going to need. What does that mean exactly? What are your needs? Well, it's making my house payment, my car payment, my electric bill. No, it's so much more than that. Your needs is to be able to provide for the house of God, to give to missionaries, to help your neighbor when there's a need there. Have you ever seen someone in need and not been able to help? Been there, done that. When I was much younger, I got myself in a lot of debt. We had a missionary. I've always had a heart for missionaries. I had a missionary come to the church and we had nothing. I mean nothing to give. And I said, God, if you'll help me get out of this mess, I promise you today I'll never get myself in so much debt that I cannot give to missions. Let me tell you, it was just a matter of a short time before God started turning things around. He did His part, but I'm going to tell you something. I did my part. I kept my word to God. Soul prosperity. Are you growing in grace? Are you seeking the face of God? Do you spend more time thinking about money? Thinking about new appliances in the kitchen? New carpet? A new car? Are any of those wrong? No. But if it occupies more of your heart than Jesus does, you're out of balance. That's good preaching, Pastor. I love this message on prosperity. It's exactly what I expected to hear. Prosperity is dependent upon your obedience. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your possession, with the first fruits of your increase. Yes, that's tithes. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Those of you that are tithe paying, that's a promise from God for you. But it doesn't stop with tithe paying. You hadn't just done your part when you give your tithes. Get off my toes, Pastor. I am. I'm headed to your heart in just a second. Some of us think, well, I clicked that box, I paid my tithes, and they'll pass by someone that they know is in need and you could help them. You had not done your part. Do you realize everything you have in your hand belongs to God? When you surrender your life to God, you surrender your checking account to Him. You can pick up a person's checking account and you can look at their heart. Most of us have a heart for fast food. Nobody cooks anymore. You know, they say Americans spend more on dog food than we do on missions. Ooh, I thought this might be a come alive Jesus sermon. I want you to know that prosperity comes in the form of seeds. What are you doing with your seed? Too many people that hear the message of prosperity keep going out to the mailbox, checking, looking for that big old check. but they have no seed in the ground. 2 Corinthians 9:10 says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower, that's God, he's putting seed in your hand, and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the seed of your righteousness. Maybe the reason that you're having want in your life, is it because you're greedy and selfish with everybody else? You know, it's funny how the Lord takes our attitudes and brings them right back to us. I find that generous people, God is generous to them. Tightwads, likewise. I don't know. You know, I heard a sermon one time years ago by a Methodist minister. And he took the sermon that says, with the same measure you give, God gives back to you. And he held up a thimble. And he says, if you're going into your resources with a thimble, and he's saying, here you go, God. God takes that same thimble and goes into his resources. Now, his resources is much more than ours. But he takes his thimble and he goes in and he dumps it out on you. And then that Methodist minister grabbed a great big old bucket. And he said, but if you go into your resources with this bucket, and you dip in your resources and you're giving to others, and that's more than money. It's time, it's energy, it's resources of all kinds. He said, then God takes that bucket and he goes into the resources of heaven and he pours out that on you with the same measure. You guys realize, are you getting this? Sometimes your problem is not that you don't have enough. It's that you're not sharing. I find that God doesn't bless hoarders. Thank you, Mitch. Not the most generous man in this church. Why? Because he plugged into something that he knows is true. God's law is divine reciprocity. In other words, what you do, he does. God gives back to you. Our giving is not a debt we owe, but a seed we sow. Given, it'll be given to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back. And prosperity comes with a promise. And Philippians 4:19 says, but my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I find that almost every Christian knows that verse. It's a feel-good verse. It's a verse that, man, when you're struggling financially, you claim that verse. Oh, my God, I supply all my need. Glory to God. I want you to know there's a condition. That verse was written to the church at Philippi, who was extremely poor, but extremely generous. That verse was not written to tightwads that will not help their neighbor, that will not put a missionary on the field, that will too stingy to pay your tithes. It's a lack of faith. That verse was written to people that didn't have much, but they were givers. And Paul looks at them and he says, I want to tell you something. My God will supply all your needs. The very worst thing you can do is be a hoarder. Be generous. Be a giver. God blesses givers. Prosperity comes to every area of your life. And the very first one is spiritually. The very first thing, if you had to look at this through God's eyes, God doesn't say, I want my people to have money. Some of his people say that. I want to have money. God wants to bless you spiritually, first and foremost. I would that your soul would prosper. I don't care how much money you have, but if you die and go to hell, you're not prosperous. That's still good preaching. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord? How are you doing spiritually? I find that most of the church is complacent. We're not seeking God. We seek His hand, not His face. We seek God when we have a problem. How you doing when everything's going well? Well, bless God, I don't need to seek Him then. No, that's when you really need to seek Him. You see, if there's ever been a day, listen to this, if there's ever been a day in your life that you were closer to Jesus than you are today, you're in a backslidden condition. Because God wants you in a closer place today than you was yesterday, tomorrow, than you are today. He wants to see you. My wife's not in here. Yeah, she is. I thought I could really tell you some juicy stuff. But when I was watching her, she led worship. And she grabbed that microphone. And I thought, whoa, who is this up there? When we got married, my mother was like me. She was loud. She was noisy. She was full of life. She laughed easy. She cried easy. You see where I get it now. I thought every woman was like that. I married Treva, and Treva's like this. Sometimes I say, boring. No. No. She's just steady. I mean, I thought forever, what do I have to do to excite this woman? Because she don't have highs and lows. She's just like this. Which is exactly what the Lord wants for you. He wants to take out your highs and your lows and make you on a steady plane going upward. So when I saw her, I thought she was going to break out into a dance. And I thought, I ain't ever seen this. That was an extreme amount of excitement for my wife. Right? Finally, after we had been married 10 years, I thought forever, I wanted to give her a gift that she would actually cry at. The toasters wasn't doing it, you know. I didn't understand. We had been married 10 years, and so I, like at year 9, I got this thought. She had had some pieces that her grandmother had pieced together for a quilt and had died before she ever got it put together. So I slipped that out of the cedar chest, and I hired some ladies to put it together and then quilt it for her. And so on our 10th anniversary, I gave it to her as our gift, and she immediately recognized it as her grandmother's quilt. And for the first time in 10 years, she actually cried when I gave her a gift. And I thought, yes, I finally did it. I finally got that emotion that I was looking for. Most of you know me. I can't even watch Little House on the Prairie. I cry through every episode. I cry. I mean, someone will say, hey, did you watch that movie? I bet you cried, didn't you? No. I mean, I cry at everything. The Lord wants you to grow spiritually. It's a primary interest to Him. So if you hear a sermon on prosperity and it does not put spirituality over finances, it's out of order. God don't care nearly as much about how much money you've got in the account as this heart of yours. You got that right? I'm serious about this. I can't tell you how serious I am. When you get this right, the other things will come along. God will take care of the other business. You seek after Him as the deer, Psalm 42 says, as the deer pants for the water. Not as the deer pants for the money hole. As the deer pants for Jesus, for the things of God, so my soul longs after you. I wish the church would put the energy into chasing Him that we do chasing the dollar. I'm telling you, this is good preaching. You might want to get the tape today. Second thing is, He says, I would that you prosper. Second thing is physically. Isaiah 53:5 says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. By His stripes we are healed. God not only wants you saved, He wants you to walk around in a well body. God cares about your health. Are you listening to me? God cares about your health. That ought to matter to you. Because what God cares for, He puts His energy into. So you can come before the Lord in faith, believing that God can touch you physically. Right. What? Because He died for that. He took the stripes upon His back so that you could go free from sickness. I wish that Christians would understand healing was part of the covenant, just like salvation is. God cares. If God cares, that means you ought to take everything before the Lord. When you're sick, you ought to take it to Him first. Not after you've exhausted every resource. Not after you've tried to treat it yourself. Take it to the Lord. The Lord cares. The third thing is mental and emotional health. The Lord cares about you resting in Him. Isaiah 26:3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him because he trusts in you. As I was worshiping the Lord, my mind went back to a time when I thought I was losing my mind. Actually, I'm pretty sure I was losing my mind. I was a mess. I mean a mess due to my job. So much stress on my job. I literally couldn't focus my eyes. I was just always doing this. I was stressed out to the max. I remember Daryl Ramsey, the pastor that I brought to you, preached. He came over to my house. He's living up in northern Ohio, but he came over to the house. He was in town visiting, and he had prayer for me that day. And that day, God began to change me from the inside. It didn't happen overnight, I'm going to tell you. It took some time. But this verse in Isaiah, I couldn't sleep. I would wake up at 2 o'clock every morning. I would quote that verse sometimes 200 times before I'd get out of bed. I was standing on the promises of God. God, you said, you've given me perfect peace. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you today? God cares about you being unrestful. God cares whether you can sleep at night. God cares about joy in your heart. Now listen closely to what I said. I didn't say God wants you happy. I said, God wants you joyful. There's a difference. God wants you prosperous in every area of your life. If you cannot rest, you're not prospering. If you're laden down with worry and care, that's not God's best for you. You getting this? God wants you to prosper emotionally. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind. Worry about nothing, right? Pray about everything. 2 Timothy 1, 7, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a love, power, and a sound mind. I pray that over many of you every day. God wants your relationships to be whole. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, He says, May the Lord make you increase and abound in love one to another and into all, just as we do to you. I'm going to tell you, you can have all the money in the bank, but if your kids don't speak to you, you're not prosperous. I don't want to pick and choose. I want it all. Say, well, you're just greedy, Pastor. No, no, I'm not greedy. I'm Bible believing. I want my health. I want my peace. I want my heart to be right with Jesus at all times, in every way. Right? But I want my relationships whole too. Now, it's very possible that you're finding some shortages in your heart right now. The reason I put a verse with these things is where you'll have something to stand on. See, it may not be whole today, but that doesn't mean that God cannot make it whole. So wherever the shortage is, take it to Him. Quit trying to fix it yourself, because chances are you can't fix this. Many people, they've done nothing wrong other than stand for the truth. And it alienates their family. Can't stand them. Why? Because you stand for light and they stand for darkness. But I know one that can fix it. It may not happen overnight. It may take time. But it may surprise you how fast God can fix things too. The last thing is, God does care about your finances. God wants you to be financially whole because He wants you to be a giver. He wants to bless you in this way. In Genesis chapter 26, verse 1, it tells us there was a famine in the land. In verse 12 and 13, it says, "But Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous." Your prosperity is not dependent upon this government. It's not dependent upon the stock market. It's not dependent upon your job. It is dependent upon you sowing into the kingdom of God. Everything you know that you're taught in the world is wrong. Every time, man, the world tells you, if you want to get, you got to get all that you can get, put it in a bucket, and set on the bucket. That's called hoarding. And God says, no, if you want to have an abundance, you get and then you give. And as you give, as you sow those seeds, I'll bring it back to you. You cast your bread upon the water, it comes back to you. The whole Word of God is all about sowing and reaping. Everything comes to you in seeds. The Word of God. What I'm doing today is I'm throwing seeds out there in your heart. I'm trying to plant a seed of hope that God cares about me prospering. But it's not just money. God wants me to be whole in every area of my life. That's prospering. Why would we sell out for money only? Who cares what you drive? As long as it gets you from point A to point B, who cares what symbol it's got on the front? If it's not Toyota, you're wrong. I'm so sorry. But God doesn't care if you wear a diamond ring. God doesn't care if you have nice things or how big your house is. God's not saying, okay, if you're going to be a child of God, you've got to live in this little bitty house. God's not like that. He's okay with you having things. This is cliche-ish, but as long as things don't have you, learn to hold everything God gives you loosely. Everything that God puts in your hand, it's for His kingdom business. We are stewards. You get that? If God gives you intelligence, what are you going to do with it? Use it for Him. If God gives you an abundance of money, what are you going to do with it? Use it for the kingdom. Do you know what kingdom means? It means the dominion of the king. Do you realize we are to seek the dominion of the King Jesus rather than seeking our kingdom? Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Chances are, your problem, if you're not prospering in all these ways, is you're out of whack. Your priorities are probably wrong. You're seeking things rather than seeking God. It's not that God is mad at us. And God's certainly not broke. God cares whether you can make your electric bill on time. You know why I know that? Because He wants us to be people of our word. He wants us to be people of integrity. He wants this world to be able to look at them and say, that's a Christian. Well, how do you know that's a Christian? Because they're always talking about Jesus? No, because they pay their bills on time. That's good preaching, Pastor Kelleher. I don't care if you like it or not. That's good preaching, and Christians, you ought to pay your bills on time. First Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." In everything. God, I just don't have enough. But I thank you for what I have. You know, I read a book on Dave Ramsey, I believe it was. Dave Ramsey said he counseled three people in one day. He said the first couple that came in, he said they were making about $25,000 a year. And he said, "Well, what seems to be your problem financially?" He said, "We just don't make enough money." He said the next couple came in and he said, "Well, what seems to be the problem financially?" And he says, "Well," he said, "they were making $75,000 a year." He said, "Well, we just don't make enough money." The third couple came in, or man came in, he was a professional ball player. He said, "What seems to be your problem?" He said, "I just don't make enough money." What is enough? Enough is usually a little bit more than I'm making. When is enough going to be enough? If you're making $50,000, is $60,000 going to be enough? I got news for you. The answer is no. It's never enough. It's never enough. As long as you're seeking it, it's never enough. If you will seek Him, you'll have enough. I promise you. It's the Word of God. Matthew 6:33 has been a life verse for me. Seek ye first. It still convicts me. Seek ye first. When I was a kid, all I wanted to do was make $1 million. I wasn't interested in women. Got married at 19. That didn't last very long, did it? All I want to do is make money. I just had that goal. I'm tired of being poor. It's a bad attitude. Short-sighted. It's not wrong to want to better yourself, but how are you going to do it? Will you just trust God with it?
Yes.
Apply yourself in everything that you do. But I'm telling you, you need to trust Him. Seek God. Seek Him first. Make Him the top priority of your life. God, I will seek you. What does that mean? Come on, let's get real for just a second. It means I'm not seeking a woman. If I'm single, I'm not seeking a relationship. I'll seek Him.
Amen.
If I'm married, I'm not seeking to make my wife happy. Because that's impossible. I don't mean that bad. I don't mean that about my wife. I'm just saying I cannot make that woman happy. He can't make you happy. Happiness comes from Him.
Yes.
But see, if I seek Jesus, I'm a better husband. I'm more loving. I'm more giving. I'm more patient. I'm not seeking things. I'm seeking Him. He takes care of everything else. Why are you breaking your neck to get more money when more money will not satisfy you? Hear me, hear me, hear me. Prosperity is not about dollars and cents. It's about your soul. Does He care about it? He absolutely does. The Lord wants you to be whole, to be sound, not to be sitting here thinking, "Dear God, I don't even know how I'm going to make my rent payment this month." He knows. Can you just rest? Can you just enter into the rest of God? Quit being anxious and seek Him. Not on Sunday mornings. Every morning. When the feet hit the floor, bless God. Hallelujah. Good morning, Holy Ghost. What are we up to today? Right? Seek Him with all your heart. The Christian church is in lack. But it's not because He's lacking. It's because we're running after things and not after Him. If you hear me today, I hope you see my heart. Let's chase after Him. I am not giving you an excuse not to work hard. I believe with all my heart that we ought to work hard. We ought to, everything you do, you ought to do it to the very best of your ability. Everything you do. Stand with me if you would.